for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Passover Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, April the 2nd, 2010. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the service teaching on soul ties.
Praise the Lord. You know what Tom said about unforgiveness is so true. What people don't realize, even lots of deliverance ministers, that without forgiving, there's no salvation, there's no healing, there's no deliverance. And when you forgive, the minute you forgive, things break in the spirit. An example is we were in Beaumont at the Spiritual Texas International Spiritual Warfare Conference, and a precious godly man taught on a wounded spirit and said, you know, people are just going to be crying and everything else. Well, when he got through, nothing happened. And I was just going to whisper to him, lead him in forgiveness. And he said, come up here. And I just led people in forgiveness to forgive those who had abused them sexually, mentally, emotionally, financially, whichever way. And the minute they forgave, people were crying. It just broke everything in the spirit. So don't think that you're going to get any healing or deliverance until there is forgiveness or even salvation. And so today I really want to share on soul ties. And I know so many of you have heard message after message after message on soul ties. But I hope today you get a little different slant on soul ties. A soul tie cannot be broken without forgiveness. You know, a deliverance minister can kind of cast out the spirits of so-and-so. It can do it till he's blue in the face. And it might momentarily leave, but it will come back until there's forgiving the person who has hurt you or who has wounded you. And the minute you forgive, things break. You know, in Satanism or in satanic ritual abuse, what they do, and this opens people up to multiple personalities, which is really the familiar spirits and the demons and the human spirit of whoever they have a soul tie with. But what they do in rituals, Satan is smarter than a lot of Christians. What they do is they'll abuse a person sexually, mentally, rape a person, make them kill a person, drink blood, or whatever kind of torture they can do to a person. And that binds them to a soul tie, and they're held through unforgiveness. And it binds them to have a part of the person that they have a soul tie with. Now, psychology, I agree with the brother last night. Psychology teaches people in people or altars. But actually, they're right about one thing. They teach it's people in people, which is not true. Colossians says, see to it no one takes you captive by the philosophies of men, by the elemental principles of the world rather than Christ. So actually you're taken captive through the world system, through medical, which is sorcery, and I know you don't like to hear that, and maybe some of you want to leave now. But when you go to the world for answers through psychology and through medical, that's sorcery. And that opens you up to soul ties. And so what they do is that they'll torture a person, and that person will let the sun go down on their anger, which holds them to that soul tie. And so when a person forgives, soul ties can be broken. Hallelujah. The minute there's forgiveness, freedom will come because the connection is broken in the spirit. Now, can you just give me the first just to show them what a soul tie looks like? A soul tie is a connection in the spirit. You can be, all of us in varying degrees have soul ties. How do I do this? Excuse me. It was the slide. Okay. I didn't know if that would cause static or not. Okay. Anyway, through soul ties, there's a connection in the spirit. You cannot see a soul tie with the human eye. But angels and demons can see soul ties. They can see the connection. Okay, flip one. You can have soul ties with any person that you have sinned with or sinned against or who has sinned against you. If you do not, number one, if it's your sin, if you do not confess your sins, it holds you to a soul tie. And if you don't forgive those who've abused you, it'll hold you to a soul tie. Now, in Deuteronomy 28, one of the curses, it says, because of disobedience to the voice of God and His commandments, and he lists 50-some-odd curses that you can be under, and one of the curses is the enemy will come against you one way, and you'll flee seven ways. Well, how do you flee seven ways? Through soul ties. Another place where God says, I'm going to scatter you among all the peoples of the earth. Well, how can you be scattered? You know, the world calls that multiple personality disorder or now dissociative identity disorder. But God calls it being scattered. And God's word says that He will gather us through all the places where we've been scattered if we repent. If we forgive those who've hurt us, if we repent of our sins. So wherever there's a violation of the Word of God, there's a soul tie. And, you know, we can have thousands of soul ties. And through soul ties, people get a part of you and you get a part of them through a soul tie. Through soul ties, you can carry the demons of whoever you have a soul tie with. You can carry the sickness of whoever you have a soul tie with. You can carry the addictions of whoever you have a soul tie with. Years ago, in 1982, God sent me a precious girl, and I love her. We're still friends today. But she grew up in Satanism. When she was 14, she was sold to a pornography ring. When she was 12, and when she was 14, she was sold to a prostitution ring. And because she never knew anything but Satanism, because she was tortured through satanic family, then she grew up and she became a Satanist. And God taught me so many things through this girl. She's precious. She loves the Lord with all of her heart. But there's been many, many years where she struggled with so many different things. And God used her to teach me a few things about satanic ritual abuse. But one thing I learned is she used to live on my farm where I used to have people that I would house and during their recovery process. And anytime anybody came through the ministry that had been on drugs, now she hadn't been on drugs in 10 years, but anytime anybody would come through the ministry that was on drugs, she'd begin to crave crack or she'd begin to crave the drugs that they were addicted to. So in ministering to her, the Lord showed us that she had a soul tie with people she had taken drugs with. And when we broke that soul tie, she never craved drugs again. So if you've been in, say you've had an alcohol problem, and years ago you were involved, and now you come to the Lord, but you still struggle with that, you've got to go back and break soul ties with every person that you gave alcohol to or who gave alcohol to you, who you bought it from, sold it from, same with drugs, and with the people you sinned with under the influence of those drugs, because it opens you up to soul ties. And you can have soul ties with any person you violate the Word of God with or who violates the Word of God against you, unless you repent of your sin or unless you forgive whoever has sinned against you. Now, Tom mentioned forgiveness. One thing, how many of you have said, I forgive so-and-so, but a week later, an hour later, a month later, it's rah, 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 rah. I should have said this, I should have said that. And I've shared this before, but you need to get it. God taught me that if you can easily forgive somebody, it's not a hard issue. You know, how many of you have had people say, oh, Jerry, forgive me for something I said. And I say, well, what did you say? Well, yesterday I did such and such, such and such. I didn't pay attention to it. wasn't a heart issue. But there's other times people will do something to offend you, and you know you've got to forgive or you won't be forgiven. So you say, I choose to forgive, but it doesn't go away. A week later, it's still stirring. A month later, that's a heart issue. One day I was having lunch with a girl, and God taught me how to forgive. We got in a disagreement, and she said she was sorry, and I said I was sorry. But the next day, I was still arguing with that girl in my head. I was thinking, she's so rude, rah, rah, rah. Next time she says this, I should have said, well, why didn't I say rah, rah, rah? And I said, God, she said she was sorry, and I said I was sorry. Why can't I let go of this? And God said, she's triggering, you know, trigger is a psychology word, but pushing your button is a Christian word. People don't use it, but you know you get your button pushed. The Lord said, she's pushing your button because she reminds you of your mother. You've got unresolved issues with your mother. And I said, well, Lord, I don't know what to forgive my mother for. And the Lord said, forgive your mother for everything you don't like about her. Okay, Lord, I forgive her for being sarcastic. I forgive her for being negative. I forgive her, forgive her, forgive her. And you know, it totally left. And I had such compassion on that girl because I saw my sin. So if you can't forgive, it is a root issue, usually stemming from an issue with mom and dad. That person is pushing your mother and daddy buttons and reminding you of something that was done way back here that you've forgotten. So ask the Lord to show you, and He just loves to show you. And that's how you forgive. So if you can easily forgive, it's not a issue, not a root issue. But, you know, Jesus said you have to forgive from the heart. The heart is what's been planted down in your mind, will, emotions, conscience, in your soul realm area. How many of you know you're a spiritual garden? Whatever you plant in that garden is what's coming up. You say, well, but I've been saved. Well, let me tell you, there's stuff growing right now in your garden that happened before you ever got saved. And that's down there in the soul realm. And so look at the fruit, chase the fruit, whatever's growing. If perversion is growing in your garden, you need to go back and trace it to roots. The seeds that have been planted have been seeds of perversion, either coming down generationally or through sexual sin. You know, the Bible says that no sin affects the body like sexual sin. What's so sad is 60% of church members think nothing of shacking up. And can I tell you, you get soul ties with whoever you have sex with. You get their demons, you get their sicknesses, you get their diseases, you get everything that's working in them. Their familiar spirits, a piece of them. You know, Romans 1 says, even though they knew God, they didn't acknowledge Him any longer. And it says that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and began to worship the creature rather than the Creator. And God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Well, through soul ties, a part of the image of Christ is taken out, and part of the image of the person that you have a soul tie with is put in there. And so, to break the soul ties, you've got to repent of your sin. I don't care how many deliverance ministers pray for you. If you do not repent of your sin, you will not get delivered. You know, I mean, you know what's so sad today? The church, the scripture says that false prophets scatter the flock. Jeremiah 10:21. All the flock of false shepherds are scattered in that passage. Jeremiah 23. There are so many false prophets out there, and people are being scattered through false prophets, letting people lay hands on you, unholy hands. I lost my train of thought. Ecclesiastes 11:10 says, so remove vexation from your heart and put pain out of your body. And that word vexation means grief and anger, vexation, provocation, wrath, idolatry, hurt from your heart, and you can put pain out of your body. Grief means the pain of mind produced by the loss or misfortune of evils or injury of any kind. Grief also means the pain of mind occasioned by my own misconduct, sorrow, or realization that I've done something wrong or failed in some way. You know, my greatest grief over things I've done wrong. It's easy for me to forgive you, but it's harder for me to forgive me. And that's usually the case with many of us. We want to, when we come to Christ, we want to do things right. But through soul ties, through violating the Word of God, if somebody violates it against you, you have to forgive them. If you violate someone else, then you need to repent of your sin and break soul ties. A soul tie is an unholy alliance or a perverse relationship. A soul tie is the joining or knitting together of the bonds of a relationship. And godly soul ties occur when like-minded believers are together in the Lord, friends, marriage partners. They're good soul ties and evil soul ties. An evil soul tie is a soul tie that is set up through a violation of the Word of God. Godly soul ties are based upon the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2 calls it the royal law. These soul ties are approved by God. They represent the bonding of persons together through the bonds of agape love. Colossians 2:2 says that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself. Ungodly soul ties occur between people when there's a lack of God-centeredness or, like I said, a violation of the Word of God. A soul tie involves the joining of a personality, a person's mind, will, emotions, and the parts of their human spirit. You know, when we join ourselves with Christ, we have, each person has a spirit, and when we come to Christ, we join ourselves with Christ. Is that right? Now, the Holy Spirit can't sin, but our human spirit can. I believe it's Thessalonians that says, until your body, soul, and spirit is sanctified or holy. Who knows that scripture? Right. Preserved blameless. You know, there's teachings going around that you can't sin in your human spirit. I mean, of course, you can't when it's the Holy Spirit. But wherever you're joined to Christ, you're one with Him. But like what Jerry said was so true. You know, I'm joined with Christ, but if there's an area of my life, like he said, was unsaved, or an area where I've turned to idolatry, you know, nobody's perfect. Sanctification is a process. But in areas, let's pray. Lord, I just thank you and praise you. Lord, thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you that if we commit our way to you, you will establish our thoughts. So, Lord, I just ask that you download me from heaven and cause me to say what you want me to say in the name of Jesus. No more, no less. In Jesus' name. Thank you that we've been raised to sit with you in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. Thank you that you've given us the Kratos, Dunamis, Exousia power, the keys to the kingdom. We take those keys. And we bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places, from Glenn, Patty, Kevin, from this camp, from every person that works at this camp, from every person that's here, from everything that concerns us, in the name, power, blood, and by the authority of Jesus, we break the power of any curses coming over the internet, in Jesus' name. We break every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, ritual that's been spoken against this camp, against Glenn, against Patty, against the workers of this camp, in the mighty holy name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. We praise you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. Praise you. I bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. The word scatter means to disperse, to drive off or scatter in different directions, to distribute evenly throughout a medium, to move in different directions. And, of course, Jesus said that if you're not gathering with me, which means deliverance, you're scattering people, fragmenting people, scattering people. Nehemiah 1:8 says, if you are unfruitful, I'll scatter you. But if you return and keep my commandments, I will gather you. So we've all been scattered in varying degrees. Satanic ritual abuse is the extreme. The things they do against innocent people, some innocent, some not innocent, is abominable. It's abominable. I took a girl home with me one day from a seminar. Now, this was the girl that had come out of Satanism and had been satanically ritually abused. And if I had all the people over 30 years that I've ministered to, if you put all their pain together, she had more pain than every person I have ever prayed for in 30 years. She had it all. And the enemy is really trying to distract my mind. Anyway, but I declare he can't, and bind those spirits in Jesus' name. Anyway, I took her home with me one day for lunch, and this is when I just got started ministering to her. And a demon spoke through her, and I thought it was her, because I didn't know. And it said, "Why do you keep calling me such and such? My name is Michelle." I said, "Your name isn't Michelle. Your name is... And then I realized, hey, that wasn't my friend, because I knew nothing. I grew up very protected in a family that didn't even believe in the devil, or I guess a Sadducee doesn't believe in signs and wonders, miracles. And so had I not experienced all this, I wouldn't have believed it. Anyway, it manifested through her, and then I realized that wasn't her. So I said, "I bind you, Michelle. You will not work in her body." I called back, and I named my friend's name. And she said later, she said, "I could hear you calling me back." It's like when the demon checks in, they check out. And like Brother said last night, it's like switching channels on a TV. One day, you know, I'd fix her lemon pie. I don't like lemon pie. I like chocolate cake. I thought you liked lemon pie. No, I like chocolate cake. Next time I'd make her chocolate cake. I don't like chocolate cake. I like strawberry shortcake. See, every personality, which is a demonic personality, which is a part of the people she was bonded to in rituals, had different likes and different dislikes, whatever was checking in. But this particular day, when I bound this demon, Michelle, and I called her back, and I said, "Ask the Holy Spirit to show you how Michelle got in." And this is what the Lord showed us. They had made her, in a satanic ritual, they had made her first have sex with this girl, Michelle. Then they did a blood transfusion, and then they made her kill this girl. And so in this ritual, she got Michelle's personality. So what I had to do was lead her to forgive the people that forced her to do that. She didn't even know who they were. And forgive them, and then I could cast Michelle out. And later I said, "You know, that makes me think I don't ever want a blood transfusion." She said, "Oh, that's one way Satanists transfer demons in the blood. So if you've had a blood transfusion, you've got a soul tie with whoever you have a transfusion with. You've had whosoever blood you have." A close friend of mine that travels with me a lot recently had knee surgery on both knees. Well, they said, "You're an anemic," so they gave her a blood transfusion. Now, she didn't tell me this till later, because she knew what I'd say, so she didn't tell me till later. But anyway, she came to one of my meetings, and she said, "I have a testimony." And I said, "What?" She said, "Well, when I had this knee surgery..." Well, first of all, I told some friends, I said, "This girl is not even the same person." I said, "I wonder if I hurt her feelings. She don't even act the same." And this girl has traveled with me for years, real close to her. But I said, "She's acting strange. She doesn't even act like she's..." Maybe I've offended her. Come to find out, then later she said, "I have a testimony." Now she tells me later. She said, "They gave me blood. They said after I had this knee surgery that they gave me blood, that I was anemic. And," she said, "I lost my memory." I knew something was wrong with her, but I didn't know what, because I didn't know she'd been given blood. And she said, and she's sat through, goodness, she's been almost every seminar I've taught. And so, anyway, she said, I lost my memory. And then she said, and then I realized the person whose blood I got had memory problems. She said, "I broke soul ties and cast that thing out of me." And she said, "It was a manifestation." So if you've had blood transfusions, you've had someone else's blood, the life's in the blood. And so there's good soul ties and there's evil soul ties. Jonathan and David was an example of a good soul tie. You know, in fact, some people want to say that Jonathan and David had a sexual perversion problem, but they didn't. They love God. Soul ties affect us either in a positive way or a negative way. 1 Corinthians 12:26, it says, if one member suffers, we all suffer. If one rejoices, we all rejoice. 2 Corinthians 7:9, I now rejoice not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance, for you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, in order that you might not suffer loss in anything through this. And so this is one way that a Satanist can control people 30 years after they're ever in a ritual, is through a soul tie. And so, because if one member suffers, we all suffer. If one rejoices, we all rejoice. And that's the same in the body of Christ through good soul ties. But in bad soul ties, a person can suffer the same things that they have, that the person they have a soul tie with can suffer. There are ungodly soul ties. You know, godly soul ties are founded upon the law of love. And evil soul ties are founded on lust. Ungodly soul ties through fornication. There was a girl that came to me for prayer once during one of my meetings. She said, I have warts on my face. I said, do you have a boyfriend? And she said, yes. I said, does he have warts? And she said, yes. I said, have you been sexually promiscuous with him? And she said, yes. I broke soul ties, cast out the spirit. Now, the warts didn't leave right then, but 6 months later, I saw her mother, didn't tell her mother the details, but I said, does your daughter still have warts? And she said, oh, no, they're gone. You see, there's an impartation of whatever is in that other person. It's imparted. Now, one thing false prophets do and false teachers, I've heard several say, one man of one of these revivals, so-called revival, they call it revival, and people are spiritually drunk, and let me tell you, that's a whole other teaching. I was down here and taught a teaching on drunkenness. Is it a blessing or a curse? And I can show you in the Word of God that there's not one scripture that says it's a blessing. In fact, it's a curse that God pours out upon the harlot to make her drink that makes her drunk. A harlot is if you pray a prayer to receive Jesus and your heart goes after other lovers. You're a spiritual adulterer or a spiritual harlot. And God pours out the cup of the wine of his wrath upon the harlot to make her drink. And 90% of the church is lost. Pray, you know, they believe up here in their head, but there's no repentance. There's no confession of sin. In fact, confessing sins nowadays is almost a foreign subject to people. Even mentioning sin in the church. Now, what was I saying before I got off track there? Does anybody remember? Oh, right, through the impartation. Oh, one thing these false prophets do, I've heard two false prophets say, just one listening to the radio, and I read something that another one said. One man said that prayer is one of the greatest hindrances to revival, this thing they call revival. You know why he said that? Because if I'm praying, you can't put whatever you're putting in me. I heard another man, and I won't mention his name, but I heard another man say he had people laid out on the floor, and he'd say, lady, quit praying. And he would put his foot on top of people, which to me represents we're supposed to be under Satan's feet. He's supposed to be under our feet. We're not supposed to be under his feet. And then he'd go minister, and then he'd say, lady, I said, quit praying. You see, if I put myself in that little old lady's place. If I was laying on the floor, I'd be saying, God, please don't let me get nothing that's not you. Right? If I'm saying that and praying that, God's not going to let that thing that if I touch you, you start laughing, or you touch you and you start jerking. Can I tell you that's a demonic impartation? I had another man at my seminar. His arm was going like this. And he came up for prayer for something else. I said, brother, what's wrong with your arm? He said, it's been doing that ever since I got revival. Ever since this lady prayed for me, it's been doing that. I said, brother, you didn't get the Holy Spirit. You got the unholy spirit. Let him to forgive, break soul ties, and his arm quit. You know what? God wants us to win the lost. We're here for the glory of God and for the salvation of souls. If I go up to you, Brother Philip, and I say, how would you like the Holy Spirit? wouldn't you like to receive Jesus? Would you want what I had? If you had a brain in your head, you wouldn't want it. I have so many people email me and said, you know, ever since I went to Lakeland, Florida, I've been having demons rape me in my sleep, and they tell me that they're Todd Bentley. I mean, it's a Kundalini spirit that is transferred. I was watching a video the other night by a well-known Christian program, and the people were so drunk they couldn't even sit up at the table. They were laid on the floor, just totally laid out. And the man that was in charge said, hey, just go touch the people around you and they'll get it. It's an impartation. It's God's glory. Let me tell you, it's filling you full of demons. And to break that, you have to break soul ties with the people that touched you, lay hands on you, and repent of your sin. So you can have soul ties through fornication, through sexual sin, through adultery, through looking at pornography. Jesus said that if you just lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. So pornography will draw you to a soul tie with whoever you look at. And let me tell you, most of those people that are in pornography are either held captive by the Satanists. Satanists make most of the pornography. They're held captive. They're drugged up. They're being forced into situations that they maybe don't want to be in. And most of them are drug addicted, perverted, perversion. And when you look at pornography, you are binding yourself to a soul tie, and it's binding you to the depths of the sewers of this earth. Yeah. Internet pornography. And can I tell you, it'll cause you to fall away from the faith. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:1, in latter times, men will fall away from the faith, giving heed to doctrines of demons and seducing spirits. Yeah. And so, if you've been in it, let me tell you, it's not an easy thing to break. And that Kundalini spirit is a hard thing to break. I mean, I know a girl that's been trying to work on that thing for 2 years. Why didn't God deliver right off the bat? Because there was a lot of issues of her life that God wanted to heal first. You know what? Sometimes if you have an illustration, there'll be cancer and there'll be bitterness and resentment and anger and hurt and pain. We'll say, God, I want you to get this cancer. I want you to get this pain. Well, what about the bitterness and the hurt? Can I tell you that there is a spiritual root to why you have what you have? God has got a lesson in everything He wants to teach you. And if you're wise, you'll say, okay, Lord, what are you trying to teach me through this? And God wants to heal you. Amen. You can have soul ties through perverted family ties. Within a family, there are close soul ties, any which Satan is eager to pervert. If a parent tries to control a child beyond the time they leave home, then that's a perverted soul tie. But if you grow up controlled, can I tell you, you'll either be a controller or you'll marry a controller? And you think, oh, my husband's controlling me. Or you may not, there's two kinds of people that when we get our button pushed. There's people that stuff it, and then there's people that just blow up all over you. Right? And can I tell you, if you're a stuffer, it's going to come out somewhere. It could come out through strokes. It could come out through aneurysms. I know a precious man that has an aneurysm, and he's a stuffer. You see, have you ever heard people say, you know, I just felt like having a heart attack or just blowing a fuse or blowing a gasket? Well, that's exactly what happens. And so at the root of strokes is anger somewhere. And, you know, everybody has got issues of hurt, anger, bitterness, fear. And about the time you think you've dealt with all of them, God will show you something else. I used to say, well, I went through deliverance. Well, I've been a Christian almost 40 years, and I have been going through deliverance almost every day. It never ends. And God uses the problem to show you what's next. Hallelujah. He's got an answer. The answer's in God's Word. It's not out there in the world, I guarantee you. Because if you run to the world, now you got the band-aid you got to deal with on top of the problem. So, The answer is not in the world. You can have soul ties through incest, molestation, rape, through satanic rituals. I asked this one girl once who the daddy had sexually molested the boy in the family and the girl, another girl in the family, and I asked her, I said, did your daddy ever sexually molest you? She said, no, but he wanted to. I knew he wanted to. You see, he was lusting after her. They're a soul tie. You know, that's spiritual molestation. It's the same thing as incest. If I think it in my heart, I'm committing that sin. You can have soul ties through bestiality. How many of you have seen people that, and I have a kennel that it is a tin making job God gave me. My friend said, Jerry, God had to give you that because 30 years ago I wouldn't have a dog. In fact, I used to judge people that did. I can't believe they just spent all the time on that nasty dog. Anyway, I love my animals, but I'm not the kind that sleeps with them or they don't get on my porch even. Well, I take it back. I have one that thinks he can get on the porch. He has a warm place he sleeps in. But how many of you have seen people through soul ties look like they're animals? Or if a person's into bestiality is letting an animal touch you in an inappropriate way, or you touching an animal in an inappropriate way, can open you up to a soul tie. Soul ties with the dead, touching the dead. How many of you know that the Bible says that you're not to touch the dead? The demons won't live in a dead body. They're looking for a place to go. This is another thing they do in satanic rituals, is they bury people with dead people, make people have sex with the dead, but touching the dead. And I apologize, I didn't bring my concordance. I was going to look up the scriptures. It says, don't touch the dead, the bones of the dead, or the graves of the dead. How many times have we walked on graves? You say, well, that's just kind of bizarre, and that's over in the Old Testament. Well, does the scripture say in the New Testament, all scripture is given for reproof and correction and training in righteousness? Does the Bible say all scripture? I went to a certain city to do a seminar, and I had so much luggage. I said, when I got there, they said they put me on the third floor. I said, do you have an elevator? They said, no. I said, well, do you have somebody that can help me? They said, no. I said, well, she said, we do have one room. It's a handicap room. So I said, oh, that's great. First floor handicap room. The next morning, I could barely get out of bed. I'm serious. The scripture says that if there's an emission on a bed, somebody has sex on a bed, and this happens in hotels. I mean, people prostitute in hotels. But the next morning, I couldn't hardly get out of bed. And it took me 15 minutes to get the demons off me that got on me through me sleeping in that bed. And I thought, well, you know, a curse without a cause cannot light. So, Lord, how did that thing get on me? And the Lord showed me that I was pastoring a church at the time, and I had a lady that was in a walker, and I wasn't judging her because she was in a walker, but I judged her for being an attention getter. I didn't think she was repentant, and so I judged her. And the Lord let me feel for 15 minutes how that poor lady felt. Because judge not lest you be judged. That's a sobering thought. And so when I go into a hotel room, I anoint the whole room with oil. I anoint the bed with oil. I take accountability for every sin that's been committed in that room. I break soul ties with everybody that's been in that room. And then I used to open the door and tell the demons to get out, but now I know they can go right through the door. And I sleep very peaceful. Now, Lord, show me once when my husband and I went through Arizona and we stayed in a hotel, and I never have perverted thoughts, much less perverted dreams. And I dreamed about perversion all night. I said, Lord, why am I dreaming about perversion? Because I might dream about strawberry shortcake, but perversion is not in my vocabulary. And the Lord showed me pornographic movies and pornographic and prostitution that happened in those rooms. And so from then on, I pray over the room. And I can tell you the presence of the Lord is in that room. Through grief. You know, grief will bind you to a soul tie. How many of you said, I'll never let go of this person? Or, I'll never let go of this animal. I'll just love you forever. You're holding on to them in the spirit. I was doing a meeting in Dallas and with the whole family. It was like four generations wanted me to do a seminar in their home. And at lunchtime, this lady said, "Pray for my son." She said, he's got lung problems. I didn't have any insight. And then she said, "And you know, our Anna and my daughter, she's got a stomach problem." And she said, "You know, and pray for our animals. They're always dying." And then I knew. The Holy Spirit showed me. The little boy, I prayed with the little boy, and I led him to repent of vowing. When you make a vow, it works like a train track. You may have a good engine that wants to go this way, but it has to go the way of the vow. And Jerry shared that last night. Whatever you vow, even in, you know, verbal vows outward or verbal vows inward, it's going to set you up for that very thing to happen. And so I led him in repentance for vowing that he would never let go of that cat. Oh, and what gave me the clue, and she said, "And that last cat we had died with a lung problem." I broke soul ties between that little boy and that cat, and his lungs was instantly healed. The demon that left him was so big, he turned to his little sister and he said, "Julie, that other cat we had that died of stomach problems." That was the craziest, most bizarre thing I'd ever heard. If you'd have told it to me, I wouldn't have believed it. If I hadn't have seen him healed, I wouldn't have believed it. Next month, I was in Round Rock, Texas, doing a seminar, and a girl had a brace on her ankle, and she came up for prayer, and I said, she wanted prayer for her ankle. I said, "Well," she said, "when did this start?" She said, "It started when I was 4 years old. I jumped down the stairs, and my mother told me not to. So I led her in repentance of rebellion, of disobedience to her mother." And then I said, "Were you showing off?" She said, "Yes." So I led her in repentance of showing off. And then she just started sobbing. She was like 16 years old. She said, "When I was 12 years old," she said, "we had a farm and we had horses." And she said, "My mother married this man that was financially in debt." And she said, we had to sell our horses, and we had to sell our farm and our horses. And she said, "I had this one horse." She even told me the name was Tig. And she said, "And it broke my heart. We had to sell him." I said, "Did he by any chance have a leg problem?" She said, "Oh, yes. Turned out to be the same side that horse had a problem with." Led her to repent, forgive her mother, her stepfather, broke soul ties with that horse, and her ankle was instantly healed. She took the brace off. So our mother next year shared that. That was so bizarre. I share it almost every time I teach this. I shared this, and the mother was in the congregation, and it was a year or two afterwards, and she said to this day she's never had another ankle problem. Another man listened to my soul tie tapes, and he would get cricks in his leg, in his calf. And what the Lord showed him is that he grew up on a farm, and he had a horse that would get cricks in his legs. Now, I don't know how they break them, but I understood him to say that they take a huge instrument and they hit the horse in that Charlie horse. That's what I understood. I don't know if that's true or not. But anyway, his heart was grieving for that horse. He was mad at his daddy and his brother, his uncle, for hurting his horse. And when he forgave them and broke soul ties, he never had cricks again. You see, if somebody twists your arm when you're 6 years old or 10 years old, and you let the sun go down on your anger, you're bound to a soul tie in whatever area you were hurt. It's like the Lord showed me this from a man that came to me. He said, "I'm a carpenter." And he said, "And my arms just hurt all the time." He said, my brothers used to hurt my arms. And he said, "In my stomach, I have stomach problems." And when he said his brothers used to hurt his arms, I knew that his brothers also hit him in the private parts, because I've watched little boys on a playground, and that's what they do. And so I led him to forgive his brothers for hurting his arms, broke soul ties, and his arms were instantly healed. You see, because they were hurting his arms, in the spirit realm, their hands were still on his arms. If somebody slaps you in the face and you let the sun go down on your anger, 50 years later, you may be looking for a root to a face problem and go into the medical to find it, but it's still that person that slapped you through unforgiveness, their hand is right there. still in your face. So you see, a lot of your medical problems are just rooted in soul ties. I see more people healed through breaking soul ties than any other thing. You can have soul ties. You know, in the Old Testament, the Bible said that a priest was not allowed to touch the dead. And only in certain instances could he bury certain family members. You could bury certain family members, but then he had to go through ceremonial cleansing. And the Bible tells us the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all sin. There was another lady that came to me, and she said, "Pray for my toe." So we said, "Holy Spirit, I don't know what's wrong with your toe. Holy Spirit, show us." And she said, "I used to be an army nurse, and my job was to tag the toes of the dead." She broke soul ties with the dead people whose toes she tagged, and her toe was instantly healed. Now, when you go into a hospital, I have a friend that's a nurse, and she said that when a person dies in a bed, what they do is they just put a clean sheet on it and move another body in on a bed where somebody's died. So if you've been in the hospital, and plus, if you, you know, your doctor has a soul tie. How many of you know when you lay hands on somebody too suddenly, you get their sins and their demons? Also, if you let somebody with unholy hands lay hands on you, they're imparting demons. Which explains a lot of this phony baloney revival stuff that they call revival. True revival is when people are brokenhearted over their sin. There'll be righteousness, there'll be repentance. There'll be holiness, and there'll be a brokenness over sin, and that person will come under the lordship of Jesus. It's when Jesus becomes in control of your life. You can have revival sitting right out here. Eating food. When I was in, I went to Australia to a healing school, and they taught that you can be bonded to whoever you eat with. And I thought, I don't know. If you don't know, put it on the chef. So I got back, when I got back from Australia, this girl who had been into Satanism, it was like I was a security to her, which I shouldn't have been, but I was the only person that loved her and tried to help her, and so there was a place for that at that particular time in her life. And she didn't even know what town she was in. For about 2 weeks, it took me about 2 weeks to get her delivered. What had happened is that when I was gone, the Satanist appeared to her and said, "We'll watch your back. There's people, your name's out on the streets, and we'll watch your back." So they took her up to a hotel room, let her see an Alzheimer's movie, and brought in popcorn to eat with her while she watched the Alzheimer's movies. Now, the people she worked for, she'd have to put in, normally, she was so multiple that she'd have to put my telephone number up on her sun visor because she would forget where she was. Because depending on what was switching off, she didn't remember on Channel 5 what happened on Channel 3. And that people at work said, "You act like you have Alzheimer's." And so that's how she got free, was to go back and forgive those people that took her to the hotel to watch the Alzheimer's movie, break soul ties, and then I could cast that Alzheimer's spirit out of her. Bizarre. Like I said, I wouldn't believe any of this if I hadn't experienced it. If you want to see signs, wonders, and miracles, you deal with satanic ritual abuse. It is so fun because you see miracles. I remember one time I was ministering to her, and she said, "They've come to get me." I said, "Who's come to get you?" Because I've never seen a demon, and I've been in deliverance for 30 years. She said, "Abaddon." I said, "Where is he?" She said, "He's right outside the door." So I opened the door, and I said, "Where is he?" She said, "He's right there." I didn't see nothing. I said, "Watch this. All his holy angels tie him up and gag him in Jesus' name. Put chains on him." I said, "Do you see that?" And she went, "Yes." I didn't see a thing, but she did. We have authority to loose angels. The Bible tells you not to eat a meal with a so-called believer if he's a sexually immoral or an idolater. How many times we do that? Eating bonds you to whoever you eat with. And I used to examine this. I thought, well, now she's coming to Satanism, and I eat probably at least one meal a day with her for about, you know, I can't tell you how many years God put me through training. But the Lord showed me, as long as I don't compromise, as long as I'm pulling them up, then I don't have to worry about that. But what happens is so many of us fear man more than we fear God, and we don't want to hurt people's feelings, so we tickle people's ears. And that's not helping anybody. Recently, I was in New York City, and I knew the Lord had sent me there to teach my grandson about evangelism, and so God had set me free before I went through people praying deliverance over me. I got a holding back spirit cast out of me. And the people that know me wouldn't think I held back on anything, but I had a holding back spirit. So when I got to New York, I mean, I witnessed everybody. Everybody that we talked to, I gave a track and asked them if they knew the Lord. And some of them, I would correct them and counsel them whether they wanted to hear it or not. And I told my grandson, I said, am I embarrassing you? And he said, no, grandmother, I appreciate having a grandmother that says what she thinks. And I said, you know what, David, if I'm here to serve God and I don't tell people what they should hear, not what they want to hear, I'm not helping anybody. And that's the purpose I'm here, is to speak the truth to people in love and love people enough to tell them what they need to hear instead of what they want to hear. Through blood transfusions, we've already talked about that. I taught this up in another state. And a lady gave me this from People's Magazine, and this is April 4th in 2005. Now, this is not a Christian article, but in this article, it talks about how people's personalities changed after they got somebody's body part. I know a girl that never was suicidal until she got a liver transplant, and she found out later that the person whose liver she got committed suicide. I'm just going to read one article, but it says, can a new heart change your life and your taste in music? And this first story is about a man named Paul Odom, a carpet executive in a Milwaukee law firm, received the heart of a 14-year-old boy who had been killed in a truck accident in 1993. On Odom's first post-surgery shopping trip, his wife, Peggy, was taken aback when he wandered into the candy aisle and started loading the basket with Snicker bars. He never liked candy before that. Peggy says of her husband, now 70, Bill also became an avid outdoorsman, giving to kayaking, cross-country skiing, and cycling 25 miles at a stretch. I wouldn't be surprised, says Peggy, 69, if he wanted to try parachuting next year. There's article after article in here written not by Christian author, but about how people's personality changes after they get somebody else's body part. I was flipping the channels one night on television and got to I can't think of the name of the program, but they were doing a surgery on somebody. And I don't know, I got in on the tail end of the program, but what I got in on is I don't know what body part this lady got, but after she got the body part, all of a sudden she began to have a sensation like something was exploding in her face. And she all of a sudden liked hip-hop music, and all of a sudden she began to like hip-hop dancing and rap music. So she began to investigate why all of a sudden do I like these things? And why do I think something is exploding in my face? And so she traced this to an 18-year-old African-American boy whose body part she got. He was into hip-hop dancing, rap music, and he killed himself by shooting himself in the face. I shared this at another meeting, and a man said that this was a true story, but there was a girl who got a blood transfusion, and the person whose blood she got, or who gave her the blood, was murdered. The girl who got her blood identified perfectly the man who killed the person whose blood she got. She identified it. So if your personality has changed since you've had a blood transfusion or a body part, you need to break soul ties with whoever. And see, they do this in satanic rituals through the blood. This is how they put these demonic personalities, altars, they call, you know, psychology calls it altars, and they're right about that. It's an altar to a false god, and I'll explain that. If I'm hurt and I don't go to God with it, and I turn to something else, I just turn to a false god. I have made an altar to a false god. Is that right? And so that's what they do, is they hurt people through soul ties. They bond them to the personalities, the demons, the human spirits, the of whoever they're bonded to, and it's held there through unforgiveness. And those of you who ministered to satanic ritually abused people, you know that when that soul tie is broken and they forgive, hey, they're delivered. And you see signs and wonders, miracles. This girl was healed of over 200 different physical problems just through breaking satanic rituals, leading her through the renunciation of these rituals, breaking these vows. You can get soul ties through making vows. I'll never be like so-and-so. How many of you said, I'll never be like my mother, I'll never be like my daddy? And then if you're like me, you look in the mirror 50 years later and you think, is that my mother? Anyway, I had a good mother, thank God. But if you judge your mother, you become like who you judge. Unforgiveness. Bitterness, empathy. You know, if you empathize with everybody, guess what? You get their demons. God wants you to have compassion, but He wants you to keep a balance. I was in Austin, and I had this big University of Texas football player come for prayer. He said, I get headaches. And his head was this big. I mean, he was huge. He's one of those guys that hit people with his head. I said, what's wrong with you? You've hit people with your head through a soul tie. I said, you know, in football, they want you to be angry and mean. And you let the sun go down on your anger, and that's what it is. He said, you know, that makes so much sense. I said, if you're going to keep playing football, you better break soul ties. His God was instantly healed. When he broke soul ties with every person that he'd been mad at on the football field or who had hit with his head, I said, you're using your head as an instrument. Anyway, his headaches were healed. Another little teenage boy came up to me and had a back problem. It happened through football. And his mother was standing there with him. I think he was about 16. And I said, does your teammates have back problems? And he said, yes. And I said, well, how do you feel about your teammates? And he wouldn't answer. His mother said, he's mad at every one of them. Led him to forgive, broke soul ties, and his back was instantly healed. 1 Timothy 5:22 says, if you lay hands on anyone too suddenly, you receive their sins. Luke 6:40 says, Jesus said, after a man is fully trained, he becomes like his teacher. So if you're sitting under false teachers, guess what? If you're sitting under a whoremonger, guess what? You're going to get spirits of whoremongerness, if there is such a word. Make sure whoever you sit under, whoever is your teacher, make sure that this person is submitted to God as they know how to be. I'm not talking about perfect because there's no human that's perfect, but I mean perfectly, as much as they know how, yielded to the Lordship of Jesus. Don't let just anybody lay hands on you. Can I tell you, when the Holy Spirit knocks you down, you don't need a catcher or a minister maid to cover you up. Inordinate affection for animals. You can look like your animals. And yes, I do break soul ties with my animals. Joining yourself with a harlot, you become one with her. I know what I started to share. Jesus is Lord of my life. I've joined to Christ. But anywhere I've got an idol, I'm joined to a harlot. And that's that place that needs to get saved that Jerry was talking about, that he got delivered from. And by the way, Jerry, I've seen God do such a mighty work in your life over the last few years. Praise God. It's an ongoing process for all of us. If you let somebody control you, you become like the controller. That's why sometimes when people are married for 50, 60 years, they begin to look alike. My mother and daddy were married 60 years, and they looked alike. And praise God for a daddy and mother that loved one another. That is a blessed heritage a child can have. There was a lady that came up to me and she said, I have diabetes. I had no insights. She went and sat down. And then I said, you become like who you judge. She came up to me and she said, I'm an RN and that's it. She said, I work on a diabetes floor. And she said, and I have judged these diabetes patients. I've judged every one of them that if they just eat properly, if they do this, they do that, they do this, they wouldn't have diabetes. She said, that's the root of my diabetes, is through a soul tie. Abortion. When you have an abortion, even though the baby's taken out of your womb, the spirit of that baby is still there. And it leaves the spirit of death in the womb that swallows up kids after that. So you need to break soul ties with the dead baby. Slavery is another thing. I see so many African Americans that through slavery, they're bent over and bowed down because of the things that have happened to their forefathers. I was in Houston, and there was this lady there that she said, I have arthritis, and this was a precious African-American lady. She said, I have arthritis in every joint of my body. She was just bowed down and bent over. The Lord gave me a word of knowledge that she had a forefather that was whipped with a whip. She forgave the people that beat her forefathers, broke soul ties with her forefathers, cast out that spirit. She said that pain spirit had come down generationally. Remove vexation from your heart and put pain out of your body. If you've got pain in your body, it's rooted in vexation. Can I tell you, pain medicine don't work? It may work a little while, then you have to have something else and something else and something else and something else. Evil companions. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. You hang with turkeys and you'll become one. Making idols out of your friends, out of yourself. Psalms 115 and Psalms 135 says those that make idols become like them. They don't see, hear, walk, talk, smell, but you make an idol out of a person, and guess what? They don't get it. You just want to tell them what they have to do to make you happy. And only Jesus can make you happy. And they don't hear it. How many of you are married and you've spent many hours trying to convince your partner of what they need to do to keep you happy? Am I the only one? I used to too. They don't get it. Because see, you've made an idol out of that issue. When you were hurt as a child, you didn't go to God. You turned to a promise. When I grew up, life's going to be different. Nobody's going to do me that way. Then you get married and they do you that way. And see, it's rooted in an unresolved childhood issue that you turn to an idol instead of God. Little kids don't know they can go to God, so they turn to false gods. The false gods of, you've got to love me, you've got to accept me, you've got to talk to me, you've got to communicate with me, you can't reject me, blah, 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 blah. All of those button pushers, toxic emotions, anger, hatred, bitterness, depression, woundedness, all of that is connected to an idol. Deuteronomy 32 says the children of Israel, Jezreel, grew fat, they kicked, they worshiped false gods. God turned them over to anger, jealousy, terror, hunger, pestilence, woundedness, bitterness. They lost their understanding and they were wounding. And God says in Deuteronomy 32, if my people will let go of the thing they're trusting in, he said, I'll have compassion on my children. See, if you don't turn to God, you're turning to something else. And whatever pushes your button is that something else you turn to. It's a false god. And these toxic emotions are not acceptable. Through wounding another's conscience. 1 Corinthians 8:12 says, in this, by sinning against the brethren and wounding their conscience when it's weak, you sin against Christ. And in that passage, it's talking about food. So if I can wound somebody's conscience by the things I eat, how much more if they're sexually molested? If I go in, how can I say this? If I go, where's some glass? I'll just say that. Just say I go put a muddy hand up there on that screen. I just defile that screen. And what happens is when I violate somebody and somebody violates me, it's like I take a part of the Christ out and put a part of me in there. And I defile. And that's why sometimes a little child that's sexually molested is just a sparkly little child, and then after they get sexually molested, it's like darkness comes into their little face and all of a sudden they begin to act out what the pervert did to them. Controlling others. Eating with so-called believers that are idolaters. It tells you in 1 Corinthians 5 not to do that. Romans 8:29 says, for whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. And you go through trials to get conformed into God's image. And if you don't go to God in those trials, you get conformed to the image of the one who violated you or the one you violated. Proverbs 22:24 says, don't associate with an angry man lest you become like him. In other words, don't appease an angry person, because if they get angry because you don't do something and you appease them, next time you have to jump higher and higher and higher, because you can't ever please an angry person. So God says, stay away from an angry man or woman lest you become like him. How do you become like him? Through compromising, through jumping through their hoops. God may say, don't jump through their hoops. You obey the word of God. But because of fear, I jump through the hoops, and guess what? I become like them. Associating with, 1 Corinthians 5:11, but actually I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he should be a sexually immoral person or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or a swindler. Don't even eat a meal with such a one. And God says he'll give us the keys to the kingdom of heaven, that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. Now this message is not to scare you to death and think, oh, I've got to stay away from so-and-so. It's not to put fear on you. God says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. And so this is one more thing to help you keep from perishing. And it's something you have to do daily. The lady that does my nails, you know, I said, you know, my nails are soft here. Do you know if anybody else is like that? She said, yeah, mine. I went, whoa, Lord, should I quit going to this lady? The Lord knows. I said, no, I want you to quit compromising. You know how when you're sitting in the barber shop or in the beauty shop and somebody tells you gossip, and you should say, you know, I don't want to hear that, but you don't want to bang them over the head. So what you do is, uh-huh, and you agree, you come into agreement, and you get the demons of whoever is taking care of your hair or your nails or cutting your hair. Be careful who puts hands on you. My back was bothering me a few years ago, and I've learned to seek the Lord. And so I said, okay, Lord, what do you want to show me? And the Lord showed me the lady that was doing my hair had back problems. In fact, she had to have back surgery. After she had the back surgery, I was one of the two people, or before she had the back surgery, the back problems, I was one of the two people that she said that she couldn't do my hair anymore because my hair was too thick. It was hurting her back. And bless her, Lord, bless her. And I have no ought against her. I mean, I've discovered when one hairdresser don't want you, then it's time for go and witness to the next one God sends you to. And I'm not as picky as I used to be either. I think age has something to do with that, right? Because you think, boy, when you get older, nobody pays any attention anyway. Okay, stand up. Now, this is to show you how to walk. You're going to get free today of a bunch of soul ties. But this is to teach you how to walk in the future, not to be fearful. But you know, a mechanic has to get that stuff that gets the grease off their hands, right? So every day you might have to get the goop off before you go to bed through breaking soul ties. God wants you to be a light that shines out in a dark world. Amen. So Lord, search my heart and test my thoughts. And Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus to show me every person I have a soul tie with. And then just repent of everything the Lord shows you. Repent of your sin. Forgive people that have hurt you. If you've got pain in your body anywhere, it's rooted in some place where somebody's hurt you. And, you know, you can be emotionally hurt too. Somebody don't have to hit you with their fist. You can be emotionally pained. If your skin pains you, then that's usually your authority figures have caused you pain, your mothers and fathers. Remove vexation from your heart and put pain out of your body. Lord, search my heart and test my thoughts. Show me every place I have pain. Every person I need to break a soul tie with. Every person that when I was hospitalized, that I need to break a soul tie with. Every person whose blood I have. Every person I've sinned against or who sinned against me or who I've sinned with. I want to say this, if you have female problems and you haven't broke soul ties with the men that you've had that have intercoursed you, it's like they're still up inside of you through a soul tie. So Lord, forgive me for sexual sin. Same with men, prostate problems. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I break soul tie. Forgive me for sexual sin, adultery, fornication. Lord, I break soul ties with every person I have sinned with sexually, with every animal in the name of Jesus. And I ask you to forgive me, Lord. Lord, forgive me for sitting under false prophets that have scattered the flock. Forgive me for going to the world for answers that scattered me, going to psychology. Lord, I want to return to You and keep Your commandments so You can gather me. Lord, forgive me for piercing my ears and tattooing my body. Your Bible, Your Word forbids it. Making myself a slave to a person. Forgive me for looking at pornography. God, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for treating doctors like they're gods, because Christians have made doctors their gods. God turns you over to your folly. Lord, forgive me for making doctors gods. Forgive me for going to the world for answers instead of going to You, the great physician. God, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for sorcery. Forgive me for laying hands on anyone too suddenly. Forgive me for letting people with unholy hands lay hands on me. God, forgive me for filling my mind with evil seeds through movies and through music. God, forgive me for eating with so-called believers that are into sin and won't repent. Forgive me for drinking alcohol and taking drugs and giving alcohol and drugs and buying alcohol and drugs and selling alcohol and drugs. And forgive me for the sins I've committed under the influence of alcohol and drugs. God, forgive me for letting a doctor put somebody else's body part in me. Forgive me for letting people give me blood. God, forgive me for making vows. I want to break the vows. Forgive me for judging and holding unforgiveness and bitterness and empathizing with people. Forgive me for false compassion. Forgive me for using my body as an instrument to hurt people. Forgive me for fornication and adultery, perverted family ties, are y'all praying? Please pray, okay, because you're repenting. I've already done this many times myself. Lord, forgive me for letting other people control me. Forgive me for being a stuffer. Instead of speaking the truth in love, stuffing down my emotions. God, I ask You to forgive me for fantasizing. God, I forgive anyone who's incested me, molested me, raped me, or put me through a ritual. And God, forgive me for incesting people, molesting people, raping others. Bestiality, forgive me for touching the dead, the bones of the dead, the graves of the dead. God, I ask You to forgive me. Forgive me for vowing I'll never let go of my loved ones. I'll never let go of my animals. Lord, I ask You to forgive me for laying hands on anyone too suddenly. Forgive me for sitting under false teachers that have caused me to be like my teacher. God, I want to be like You, my teacher. Forgive me for vowing I'd never be like my mother, my daddy. I'll never be like such and such. I've found myself to become just like them. Forgive me for inordinate affection for animals. Pray with me. Joining myself with a harlot. Joining myself with unbelievers. Making idols out of friends, out of myself, out of my parents, out of my mates. Lord, I've become like my idols. Forgive me for walking with unwise men and being a companion of fools and hanging with the wrong kind of crowd. Forgive me for compromise, wounding other people's conscience, associating and compromising. God, forgive me for associating with adulterers, play acting. Touching the bones of the dead, graves of the dead, beds where ungodly emissions, beds where people died or where people were sick or where people had sexual sin. God, forgive me for being in rooms where people died, even being in a funeral home, all those dead spirits of the dead. God, I ask You to cleanse me, pray with me, by the blood of Jesus from all defilement. Lord, I break soul ties with every doctor and all of his patients that's ever treated me. I break soul ties with the anesthesiologists, with nurses, with doctors, with hospitals. Forgive me for signing that piece of paper saying that at the hospital, saying that I'm giving the doctors and nurses unlawful authority over my body. God, I just take back that authority and ask You to shred those documents that say that I'm under the authority of the hospital, the doctors, the anesthesiologist, and that I won't hold them responsible if they kill me. in the name of Jesus, forgive me for doing that. I take back that authority and I give my body to you. I present my body to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice in Jesus' name. And Lord, I break soul ties with every person I've sinned with, every person who's sinned against me. I forgive them all, Lord. I break soul ties with every person who's touched me in an ungodly way. I break soul ties with every person that has spoken evil word over me. I break soul ties with the world, with doctors, nurses, and anesthesiologists, with psychiatrists. I break soul ties with any person that's ritualized me, raped me, molested me, or that I've had sex with in the name of Jesus. Lord, I forgive them and I ask you to forgive me. And Lord, would you cleanse me by the blood of Jesus from all defilement? In the name of Jesus, I break soul ties with every person that I've sinned with or who sinned against me or who I've sinned against. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them and I exchange their image for the image of Christ. And I command every demon that came in through ungodly soul ties to go. I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut every cord of control linking their souls to mine. Now every demon has to go in Jesus' name. I remove vexation from my heart. I put pain out of my body. And I forgive every person who I've been holding unforgiveness toward. I forgive my mother and father for doing the same thing to me that these people are doing to me. I forgive my mother and father for letting brothers and sisters hurt me. In the name of Jesus, praise you, Lord. Now all spirits of torment, vexation, pain, grief, sadness, the mind of the beast, go! Paralysis, go! Lord, I take hooks out of their jaws. Lord, forgive me for rebellion. In the name of Jesus. You know, I had a girl come up to me and she said, I taught them rebellion. She said, pray for me, I feel like I've got something in my mouth. And I thought of the scripture, don't be like a senseless horse or mule that has to have a bit and bridle in your mouth to keep you in check. And we've all rebelled. Nobody has not rebelled sometime in their life. And it could be a generational curse. And I let her, Lord, forgive me for being like rebellion. Forgive me for being like a senseless horse and mule that has to have a bit and bridle in my mouth to keep me in check. She repented and it totally left. She said, it's gone. Another lady came up to me and she said, I feel like I got something in my jaw. I didn't know this lady, but I knew the scripture that says, because of your arrogance has come up into my ears and because you've raged against me, I'm going to put a hook in your nose or a hook in your jaw. And I let her, I said, Lord, forgive me for raging against you. And I didn't know her. She went, yes, Lord, like it was the Lord. Forgive me for my arrogance. Yes, Lord. And I said, I just take that hook out of her jaw. And she went, wow, it's gone. So, Lord, forgive me for rebellion. Forgive me for being like a senseless horse and mule that has to have a bit and bridle in my mouth to keep me in check. Forgive me for arrogance. Forgive me for raging against you. You know why you rage against God? It's because you rage against your mother and father. You treat God just like you treated your mother and father. And you think God treats you just like your mother and father treated you, but they don't. In Jesus' name. So Lord, I've raged against you. I've been arrogant against you. I've been angry at my mother and father. I've been angry at my brothers and sisters. Lord, I've been angry at myself. And Lord, I've raged against you. I've been arrogant. And Lord, I just take the hooks out of their nose and jaws. I take the bitten bridles off of their face in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. And Lord, we ask you to bless Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. We ask you to bless Jane and Kevin and Don and Ada and Tammy and Ralph and Linda. We ask you to bless Tammy, Lord. We ask you to bless Kevin and Patty and Rhonda. Bless Glenn. And Sylvia, bless everything at this camp. Bless this food. Purify it, sanctify it, and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.